Take your Bibles, if you will. Again, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. If you would, and you're able, Matthew, chapter 10, let it stand together. We'll read verses 23 through 28. Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these thoughts. Most commentators believe that these were thoughts for a future time, and maybe even one that we find ourselves in now or very soon. Lord, give us strength. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We all know that the English language has a lot of quirks. D-E-A-R and D-E-E-R are both said dear. But B-E-A-R and B-E-E-R are not both bear. One is bear and the other is beer. And what do you do about T-O and T-W-O and T-W-O? We have an interesting language. There are bunches of rules and principles that are supposed to keep things separated and in order, such as I after E, except after C. But we know that doesn't always stay true, does it? One thought is that many English words can be used as both nouns and verbs. Think of a farmer milking a cow. The word milk as a verb in such situations, to milk a cow is an action that involves specific steps. But what do you get after the cow has been milked? You get milk, of course. And milk is a noun. The words seem to go in separate directions. And other thoughts follow the same pattern. You might smell, verb, something wonderful in the kitchen and recognize it as the smell of good food. Correct? Yes. How about this? You can use a hammer to hammer nails into a board. A noun and a verb. And strange as it may sound, it's entirely possible to chant a chant. To broadcast a broadcast. To love, love. Or to drink a drink. The English language. How about the word disciple? Disciple is another word that can go in two directions at once. Those who have experienced salvation live and breathe each day as disciples of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? you could say yes, and then I would ask the question, what have you done to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know, it's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just going to church. It's more than just giving an offering. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As I was teaching in Sunday school this morning, there are hundreds and thousands of religions. And what is a common theme today is that we're all just taking different roads to get to the same place. But the Bible clearly tells us that there is one way. That Jesus is the way. Now, I know that we need to live in this politically correct society, but unfortunately, being politically correct is going to send billions of people to hell. It's going to send billions of people to hell because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Jesus Christ came to die that men and women could be saved. He is not simply a good man or simply a prophet. He is the Savior of the world. He is God. And God came to die so that you could be saved. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so are we a disciple of Jesus Christ? In this way, the word disciple defines who we are as believers. At the same time, the term also defines much of what we do as Christians. Now, I have told you for many years that there is a difference between a believer and a Christian. Every one of us in this room right now could be a believer in Jesus Christ. But the question is, everyone in this room a Christian? We can all be believers. The man that died on the cross, was he a believer or was he a Christian? He was a believer. He didn't live long enough to be a Christian, did he? What's it mean to be a Christian? To be Christ-like. Do you know some believers who are not Christ-like? Are there times that you're not Christ-like? Yeah, if you'd have seen me on Canal Road the other day, you'd have said, he's not a Christian. It's good to repent. Yes. Because there are times that we are not Christians. We are not Christ-like because Christ would have acted differently. You remember there was what would Jesus do? Yeah. Are there times that we don't do what Jesus did? I think Jesus would have given the last piece of chocolate pie to Paul Madonna. Don't you think that? Uh-huh. You know, the fact of the matter is, it is not easy to be a Christian. It is hard. It's difficult. Jesus was willing to be mocked. Jesus was willing to be beaten. And he had the ability to have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. What would you do if you're being mocked and if you're being persecuted? Well, usually our first reaction is to get even. Right? Did Jesus ever seek revenge? No, even to the ones that nailed him to a cross and put him in that position, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So how easy is it to be a Christian? It is very hard. But we should strive to be a Christian. We should strive to be disciples of Christ that honor and glorify His name. Don't you believe that America would be a better place if those who call themselves Christians acted like they were Christians? Absolutely. As followers of Jesus, we're called disciples. And we are to disciple less mature believers by helping them grow in their relationship with Christ. A number of years ago, when I was newly married, and we had come back from Texas, and we were here in Michigan, and it was time to do some work on the car. And, you know, it used to be you could work on cars a whole lot easier than you can today. You know, you could actually get into the engine area and get inside. Today, you can't. You know, the cars are just made differently. They're far more involved in everything. And anyways, I wanted to know how to change the oil. Doesn't that sound like a simple thing to know to change the oil in a car? I don't hear any of you responding. It's pretty easy if you know what you're doing. And so you know how I learned? I watched somebody. And I saw what they did. I saw how they had the right wrench to get the oil filter off. How to undo the plug so all the oil would come out. You know it's very important to put the plug back in before you start refilling. That's also awful embarrassing to tell somebody that they wasted a quart of oil. And it's also messy to have to clean it up. Well, what's the best way to learn to be a believer? Watch somebody who is a believer. Would you agree with that? Watch somebody. Watch those who are serving the Lord faithfully. And then if you see someone that you think, well, I don't think Christians ought to do that, be careful around them. Right? So we are to be examples to less mature believers. So you don't want me to ask the next question, do you? What if people are watching you? You know, it's hard to be a pastor. You live in that house with glass walls, right? People are watching. And sometimes it can become embarrassing. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are to be examples. Correct? All of us. And we are disciples of Christ. And we are discipling others who are coming along. John chapter 15, if you would, please. John chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 16. John 15, beginning at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And then verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. To be a disciple of Christ, the Lord told us, is not going to be an easy task. And it has been through the years harder in some situations and easier in other situations. Over the last decade, two decades, we have seen a change towards believers, especially those who have convictions that there is one way into heaven, that there is a right way to live, and that our Lord is going to judge mankind. Zondervan's Bible Dictionary in describing a disciple, says a learner, a pupil of some teacher. Now it says some teacher. The word implies the acceptance in mind and life of the views and practices of the teacher. In the New Testament, it means, in the widest sense, those who accept the teaching of anyone, like John the Baptist or the Pharisees. They would become disciples of different ones. Usually, however, it refers to the adherents of Jesus. Well, we that are here today, we accept the teachings of Jesus. But are many in our society today just as likely not to accept the teachings of Jesus? We know that to be true. The word implies the acceptance in mind and life of the views and practices of the teacher at all times. And sometimes that's very difficult. Before the founding of the church at Antioch, followers of Jesus were called his disciples. We find that they were first called Christians at Antioch. So I asked the question earlier, are you a disciple of Christ? We raise our hand and say, yes, I am a disciple of Christ. Are there two types of disciples of Christ? Those who are secret agents and those who are bold. Correct? There are those, if I came to where you work and asked, is so-and-so a Christian? They would say, I don't know. Maybe. But others, I could go to where you work and I would say, is so-and-so a Christian? And they'd say, oh, yes. We know that he's a believer of Christ. We can tell by their actions. We can tell by their language. We can tell by what they do and say. So are we a believer that is a secret agent? Or are we a disciple that people readily know of our faith? How about those in our family? Do they know that we're believers? How about your neighbors? Do they know that you're a believer? We've put this out on our bulletin board a number of times through the years. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to prove you guilty? Verse 28 of the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to fear God alone. All that men can do is kill the body. And if they do, the believer's soul goes home to be with the Lord. Down through the years, hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of believers have been martyred for the faith. I've read in the book of, or Fox's Book of Martyrs, some things that have happened to believers. I know we're going to eat in a little bit. Maybe if I tell you some of these stories, I'll be able to get more meatballs. But I remember, in one case, they covered a Christian in honey, chained him in a cell, and released the rats. I remember reading about they put a man, put one arm one way, one leg one way, yep, one leg that way, one arm, so he was going in four different directions, tied him to four horses. And sent the horses in different directions. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? How strong are you? Not as strong as them. I remember they put a man on a, I don't remember, I remember reading, they put him on a solid board and put a boulder on his stomach. Do you recant? No. They put a boulder on his chest. Do you recant? No. They put boulders on his legs. Do you recant? No. They kept adding boulders. And he said, add another boulder. And at a certain point, they will put enough boulders on him that he will expire. There have been many who have died for the faith. We know that they burned them at the stake. And they would sing, or they would preach. So they would then bind their mouths so they couldn't say anything. You can still see that they were willing to die for the Lord. Now, I have a fear of water above my head. When I was a young boy, I almost drowned. And so I have a fear. I can swim and keep my head above water for a long period of time. My son's one desire, I've told you in the past, was to get Dad's hair wet. I would tell them, be careful. You'll get hurt. Yes. But they would take a person at low tide and tie him to a post and let the tide come in. Now, what do you think that would do to someone like Paul Madonna? That would not be nice. Are you a disciple of Christ? How strong is your faith? We're going to read some verses here. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, that being Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 5:8-9, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. John 3:16 tells us, Jesus speaking, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. He provided a way of salvation. But then it is told in John 3:35, that if we believe not, the wrath of God shall be upon us. God provides a way of salvation, but if we reject that way, we will suffer the wrath of God. Fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell. Shall we stand together? I ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you living in such a way that others know that you're his disciple? We have an altar here. You can come and pray. If you need to get things right with the Lord, we'll give you that opportunity. You say, oh, if I come to the altar, someone's going to say, well, what's wrong with them? May I say this? Someone coming to the altar is a good thing. Amen. Amen. It's not a bad thing. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that the Spirit would move during this invitation time. Lord, we ask that hearts would be touched. That if there is one here that doesn't know thee as Savior, that they would come even today and get things right. And Lord, we ask now that you just would have your hand upon all of us that are believers, that we would walk in the right way. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.